The problem is pride. The problem is always pride. When you work through all the excuses and all the subterfuges and all the diversions, the ugly truth is always the same. At the bottom of it, at the center of it all, is pride. Pride is the problem. Pride is the antithesis of faith. Pride hates, pride despises, pride fears repentance, because repentance is the death of pride. And that's what makes repentance rare and wonderful. And that's what makes the directive from the prophet Joel at once dangerous and virtually impossible. Rend your hearts and not your garments. The call goes out every Ash Wednesday. You have heard it before, dozens, maybe hundreds of times now. You expect the exhortation. It's part of the ritual that is Ash Wednesday. And you think you understand. Mere outward performance, we know, is unacceptable. The point is real, honest, heartfelt repentance, genuine, sincere sorrow and repentance. That's the goal. But it's not easily done. It's not safely done. The call, the demand, carries with it an implicit expectation that is terrifying. To rend a heart is to break it. And a heart that is torn and broken means one thing: death. And so repentance is rare, because repentance demands death. Not surprisingly, then, repentance has many imposters. People have devised countless ways to repent without having their hearts broken. There are so many ways that people rend their garments and then go no further. Now, of course, in our culture, literal garment rending is no longer expected or even acceptable. The sorrowful and the repentant do not tear their clothing in a literal way. Maybe that's too bad. It is a compelling image, graphic and tangible, the brokenness that attends one's awareness of failure and sin and horror is expressed by clothing that is also torn and rended. And so we can visualize it so easily, Caiaphas rising up and with deliberate execution and theatric magnificence, rending his garments over the horror of the incredible blasphemy he has been made to hear. We don't do that sort of thing anymore, though it would be impressive. Think of it, Tiger Woods on ESPN with a crisp Nike shirt in tatters hanging off his shoulders. Impressive. Still, the sort of garment shredding that does go on in our world, I think, is every bit as theatrical and every bit as superficial. The problem certainly persists. People are still quite happy with a bit of garment tearing to provide an appropriate, appeasing performance, while their hearts, the stronghold of pride, are left safely intact. Garment shredding has become part of the way of life in our world. A star athlete, an entertainer, a politician is caught in some disgraceful business or other, and if he has the good sense and a savvy PR person, he eventually orchestrates a careful process of public penance. Talk shows, interviews, web postings become the venue, and the expected apologies are offered, sometimes supplemented with genuine tears of sorrow and regret. Another garment publicly rent to the voyeuristic delight of an enchanted but somewhat jaded public. This is not the repentance called for by Joel. This is not the repentance appropriate for Ash Wednesday, and you know it. But what is wrong with that repentance anyway? It could, after all, be sincere and real enough. How does one determine when a heart has been broken and when it's not just garments that are being torn and made a big show? Is sincerity the distinguishing elements? Sincerity is not easily measured, and frankly is not a safe criteria that should occupy your attention. We are duplicitous creatures, and sincerity is an elusive, impossible goal. One can sincerely rend his garments, after all, leaving the heart intact. So how do you know? How do you know in your own life when your repentance is real? How do you know that you are not just going through the motions and shredding another shirt? How do you know when your heart has been torn? How can you tell? Is the reality of repentance determined by how terrible you feel? Is it measured by the number of tears you shed? Is repentance validated by the degree of your desire to do better? Is it made real by the actual changes that are made? Is it validated by the affirmation and the approval of others? Gauging emotions and quantifying sincerity is a hazardous business, destined to frustrate and mislead. The problem, remember, the problem is pride. When pride is left intact, well, then the repentance is always superficial and has not gone past a torn t-shirt. When repentance has done its complete work, the heart is torn and pride is dead. You know the difference. All forms of contrived, fabricated, and perfunctory repentance actually have another goal, the goal of preserving self, the goal of preserving pride. Pride lives. And so the public confession with tears and sincerity is done for the sake of something else, rehabilitation. The heart-to-heart on a couch with Oprah provides a cleansing, warm catharsis. For everyone, it feels good. Repent with a purpose, make things better. The spousal mea culpa has the objective of saving face and maybe saving the marriage. The general admission of failure in the divine service promotes a reputation of piety. An ashen cross bravely worn on a forehead signifies religiosity that is not ashamed to be humbled, very publicly. And through it all, in each scenario, pride survives, pride lives on. The heart remains intact. The tearing doesn't get past the t-shirt. When a heart has been torn, there are no ulterior motives. A broken heart has no goal. A heart that has been rent by repentance does not have some hidden purpose. It's simply a broken heart, laid bare, torn, shredded, and left there. That's all. You cannot do this. You can't produce this. It is the prerogative of the Holy Spirit alone. Only God can rend hearts. Any fool can shred a shirt, but only the Holy Spirit can tear your heart. Of course, you can thwart the process in your pride, driven by your instincts of self-preservation and led by the love of yourself. You can protect your heart, and you can keep the Spirit at arm's length. You can go on tearing garments and doing the pretense of repentance. Or you can quit the game, hear the word of the Lord, and surrender to the Spirit and His hard work, the work of tearing, breaking, shredding, killing. He works repentance. And you recognize His repentance that He has worked by what it does to pride. Pride is killed. Pride is always the working of the angle, always the deflection of the blow, manipulating the situation, turning the advantage. Repentance puts up with none of that. Repentance is the cry of a heart that sees and admits the awful truth and gives up trying to wiggle out of the truth. Repentance is a hard and a bitter absolute. No more maneuvering, no more ducking. Just the merciless dose of reality. I have sinned. I have failed. I have no excuse to offer, no recompense to pay. I've got nothing. I deserve nothing. That's all. That's repentance. That's the death of pride. That's a heart that has been rent. There's no formula for this. There's no script or typical outcome that norms heart-rending. Indeed, there aren't even any specific external manifestations that prove a broken heart. But a heart that has been rent doesn't worry about proving itself. It doesn't care what anyone thinks or believes about it. A torn heart cares about only one fact. I have violated my relationship with God. I am not what I should be. I deserve nothing, nothing but wrath and death and hell. Pride cannot survive such repentance. And so pride is the target of such repentance. Only you know when your heart has been torn, and not just your garments. You know by what happens to pride. Remember, pride is the problem. It always is. Repentance worked by the Holy Spirit is the only answer. The Holy Spirit kills pride. The Holy Spirit rends hearts. And that's what the ashes and the words are meant to do. Tear your heart. And to God, a heart torn and in shreds is a beautiful thing. God cannot resist a broken heart. To the sinner, a torn heart has no other goal. It's the end. The broken heart is the end of it all, the end of self-preservation, the end of massaging the truth, the end of pride, the end of self. But to God, a heart torn by repentance is only the beginning. God tears hearts so that he can remake them. It's what he does, always. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? Who knows? You know. You know that God loves torn hearts. You know because you have seen, you have heard what God does with shattered hearts. He puts them back. He raises them from the dead. Remember that you are dust. Remember, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Remember, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the promise. That's what God does with torn hearts. That's what God does with your torn heart. Amen. We kneel for the litany.